Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh yeah. Here we go again. Kind of excited about the start of the show because we have a brand new rant line caller I want to share with you. He's never called a rant line before, never heard his voice there, and I think you're going to like his rant. Let's see if you do. Are you ready? Show of hands, please. Are you ready? This rant, no, it's not rant line time, but this one was so unusual, I thought I'd share it with you. It's not sharing. Let me try this again. Come on, machine, you can do this. You can do it.
Hey, Todd, Will Marotti here. I'm calling to let you know, and I hope that you'll talk about this, and a letter dated today from the state of Connecticut. After 1,400 daycares have been opened since the beginning of the pandemic through now, we find out that through the Office of the Governor to the Office of Early Childhood Education, they are now requiring 3-year-old and up students to wear masks all day at the daycare. We were open since the height of the Black Plague struck us. We've had one case of COVID reported at our daycare, brought in from the outside by a teacher, no children having contracted the disease, and now we're supposed to tell our parents that if their kids are 3 years old or older, they will be required to wear masks all day in daycare. Who's going to stop this? This is insanity. This is a government running wild, out of control. I'm upset. This is a rant. I hope you play this on the air. I am done, and we are going to take legal action against the governor and against the state for this. Thank you for listening to my rant.
That's what we do. All right, there's Pastor Will letting loose with just a little introduction to some of the things I want to share with you going on in the state, and some national stuff too. But actually, last week, Pastor Will had, as he is inclined to do sometimes, he had a guest on, Themis Claridis. I never know, you know, everybody says her name here, I think, in that way. But I believe other people say it differently. Not that it's the biggest issue. But there is a Greek way of saying it, I think, that is Themis. Anyway, let me share, because I found this quite stunning. I've been taking a little heat from Themis supporters because I attacked Themis Claridis after she was on with Pastor Will. When I was on last Wednesday on Pastor Will's show for my weekly appearance there, I called her a fraud, and then I discussed it again on this show. I called her a fraud. She's the minority leader in the House. That means if Republicans were in the majority, she would be the Speaker of the House. But since they're in the minority, she's the minority leader. So she's the top Republican in the House. She's retiring from that position and from her seat in the House, as is Len Fasano, retiring from his leadership position in the Republican Party over on the Senate side. And I think that I think that this is good because I think they're both frauds and they're very similar in the way they approach things. So for people who complain and wonder, how is it that Republicans are always getting rolled? How is it that there is no opposition? And how is it that there just is no argument being made for Republican values or even just an opposition party position? Why is that? Themis provides the answer. This is her last week with Pastor Will, supposedly offering opposition to the governor's plan to extend emergency powers.
Now is that transition period where we can let him make health decisions, for example, and then everything else we should be doing with him. You know, another question I asked on Friday is, you know, they kept saying science. I go, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I believed for the first few months that we were operating this state based on science and metrics. Since then, I feel like that's gone down the drain.
Okay, so she was comfortable at first when Ned declared emergency COVID powers. And that's what I want you to hear here. This is the woman who is claiming right now to be the leader of the opposition to the governor. But I think what she's really doing is providing cover for herself for having essentially caved through this whole period, as most Republicans. I don't know really if any Republican has figured out a way, if they want to offer strong resistance. But most Republicans, I think, are content to let the governor have his way, as are Democrats who know that it's the wrong thing.
It's 2 minutes till an election, right?
All right, this is more Themis.
It's 2 minutes till an election, right? They let him make the decisions. They have two things they can do in response to that. One, say, if their constituents like the decision he made, they can say, that's great. You know, the governor of our party, he's done a great job. If they don't like the decision, they can go into their individual district and say, that's terrible. We weren't even involved in it. Right. I mean, it's disgusting.
So she's describing. Let me provide a little context on this statement. She's describing the politics, the sleazy politics that Democrats are providing by not offering resistance to their own governor. She's saying they're pretending, they're playing this thing where they win they win no matter what happens. They win if the governor does a great job. They say, oh, that's our governor. He's wonderful. And if he screws up, they say, well, he had emergency powers. We couldn't do anything. Well, listen to it again. This is exactly what the Republicans are doing.
It's 2 minutes till an election, right? They let him make the decisions. They have two things they can do in response to that. One, say, if their constituents like the decision he made, they can say, that's great. You know, the governor of our party, he's done a great job. If they don't like the decision, they can go into their individual district and say, that's terrible. We weren't even involved in it. I mean, it's disgusting.
It's disgusting how those Democrats are behaving. Well, that's what the Republicans are doing. No opposition provided. And I think it's important that you understand this, because the advantage that I have here as a radio talk host, being paid for a full-time job to study what happens in government, is I can see this stuff that you don't have time to. I get to poke my nose around and see day in and day out what they do. And this is what they do. They game you. They game you, like Themis Claridis is gaming you with these comments she made with Pastor Will last Monday. The idea is she waits month after month after month, doing little, if anything, to guide her party and the House of Representatives, which she is the top Republican in, towards resistance to the governor. And then she pops up last week or 2 weeks ago, suddenly talking like she wanted to provide resistance because she was part of the small group of legislative leaders who got to vote on the extension of the governor's powers. And she voted against it, as the Republicans did. That gives them the opportunity, having provided no opposition, to suddenly claim to be the opposition.
Number one, we have expressed concerns from day one about continuing these executive orders. I recognize that they were necessary in the beginning because we were all in a new place, a strange place. We didn't know what was going on. It was scary. It was, You know, we're in a public health pandemic.
This is the nature of her resistance. Oh, it was fine. We were all scared at the beginning. It's fine for the governor to take emergency powers. The opposition party should talk like this. No, no emergency powers. This is a democratic system of government. It is a Republican form of government. That is representative government. Not about having a king who writes law all by himself, and then his signature makes any document he signs into law automatically with no other people, no other humans, no other representatives of the people having a voice. No, we will not agree to that. We are here. We can work. And then if you listen to what else she says, it's amazing.
You know, we're in a public health pandemic, but now, fortunately, and I'm thankful for everybody in Connecticut that has done such a great job with this, we have great numbers. Now, that doesn't mean that the governor doesn't need some ability to make it by executive order, but this, we should now be in a transition phase where the legislature is coming back into collaborating with the governor.
She's got no complaints with the governor until right now. This is what politicians do when they want to have their cake and eat it too, which is normally what they're after. And normally they get it because nobody, including the media, challenges them on it. Themis wants for the, maybe it's half the population, think the governor's done a wonderful job. She doesn't want to risk losing those people because while she's leaving the House, she's rumored to be running for governor. She doesn't want to come off as being too extreme. She doesn't want to come off as being an adamant opposition because they might call her names. They might say she's a Republican. They might try to link her to Trump. So she wants to play nice and say, what the governor's been doing is fine with me. But now it's just going a little too far.
That doesn't mean that the governor doesn't need some ability to make it by executive order. Sure. But this, we should now be in a transition phase where the legislature is coming back into collaborating with the governor as people elected us to do. We have separate but equal branches of government. People elected their governor, they elected their state rep and their state senator, and we should be doing that together. That shouldn't be done in the broad way it's been doing.
So that's how tough the opposition gets. And this is why Republicans can't mount a defense. They can't mount an opposition party because they never make a presentation of opposition. It's always to be a little adjunct, to be a mini-me party, to be a go-along. Oh, well, they just went a little too far. They just went a little too far with this emergency stuff, with this shutdown. But I'm fine if the governor wants to still have emergency powers for public health. Oh, come on. That's not opposition. That's bull dung. 860-522-9842. What do you think? Is that good enough for you? We'll take some phone calls when we continue on WTIC. Oh, that sounds good. WTIC Tuesday afternoon. I just love that I get to do this. I love looking at what the powerful do and how they con us. I don't know what it is with me. It's just how I'm wired that I think they should not be lying. I know that's a quaint idea, but I think all the governor has to do is actually offer leadership. I heard, so I had Bob Stefanowski on yesterday evening towards the end of the 5 o'clock hour, as he usually appears. And then Pastor Will had him on this morning, and he said something very cool. I was listening, and Bob said something very cool this morning that I thought, why didn't he say that when he was on my show? And it had to do with the governor and leadership, and that the governor just doesn't want to lead. He chickens out instead of providing leadership. The job of leadership is to stand up and say, this is how we're going to do things, to take a risk of being wrong. And Bob's point was, to be a leader means I think, anyway, this is what he was saying. You have to take the chance that you're going to be wrong. Otherwise, what are you doing? You're just making sounds to please people if you're not taking a risk to be wrong. And if you watch what the governor's doing right now, what is he doing right now? No leadership at all in the one area where leadership is really, really necessary. 860-522-9842. Yes, that's schools. It's schools. This is the one critical. If we believe what he's been saying about COVID, this is it. Schools is the most dangerous decision point, inflection point, I guess they call it, in the state since COVID got tamped down. And here is a big inflection point. If we are to believe his rap on how dangerous COVID is and his position on thousands and thousands of kids going back into school classrooms is to back off and say, oh, I'm going to let the locals do it. The locals are going to do it. Well, that's right. What is he doing? He's falling back on markets at a moment when he's afraid to make a decision. Why didn't he do that all the way along? Nick in Wallingford. Hi, Nick.
Hi. Regarding these new fines that are getting imposed on citizens,
yes.
It's kind of stunning, isn't it? Stunning.
Yeah, it's stunning. Especially at this moment. Why are fines necessary right now, do you think, Nick?
What's next? All the work the CMRA has done for helmet laws just gets erased with the stroke of a pen. Oh, everybody's got to wear a helmet. What's next? A parent allows his child to go down the street without a bicycle helmet? $1,000 fine. This could go on and on and on to perpetuity. There's no reason without any due process legislation that a governor should have this kind of power when people have the ability to maintain their own lives in a common sense manner. What's your input on this? Is somebody out there trying to get an injunction against this or what?
Oh, well, that will take some time to develop. There are various people who have filed lawsuits throughout this process, and we haven't gotten any luck yet on those lawsuits. But if you listen to what I was just saying about the governor is backing off and not making a decision where there actually is some risk. If we are to believe his assessment of how dangerous COVID is, it is a risk to send children into the classroom with older teachers. And that could lead to an outbreak if we are to believe his assessment of things. And yet, in this one place where thousands and thousands of people are suddenly being made vulnerable based on Ned's criteria, he does nothing. But isn't it interesting, on the same day that, well, the same period of time that he does nothing, he announces that he's doing $100 fines for people who don't wear a mask. What is that? We've had a mask instruction since April 22nd, I believe. How many months is that? May, June, July, August, September. 5 months. Nick, what do you think of that?
It's beyond my ability to voice my opinion in a calm manner right now. That's how angry I think anybody who's out there. What's next? Construction workers along a roadside job. Oh, sorry, guys. Got to give everybody a $100 ticket. You're not wearing your mask. You're too close together. I mean, come on. Yeah.
I think this is the game. Sorry, finish up, Nick. All right, Nick, thank you for the call. This is the game of performance leadership. Fearful leadership. Leadership driven by politics, not by the best interests of the people, but by the best interests of the Democrats and Jolly Ned. This is avoiding leadership while making average people, especially liberals who are really well educated and thus can't get anything right in their assessment of the world. This is the kind of thing they love. The governor's standing up for us. They would prefer, if they thought about it, that he makes strict rules to keep the kids home from school or to protect teachers. But he knows how, well, at least his handlers know how easy it is to con those voters. Simply by using certain words, by using a certain tone of voice, you make people think you're loving and caring and wonderful and I'm here to save you. I'm here to protect you. I'm only doing this to protect you. These are the kinds of platitudinous nonsense that meaningless politicians like Ned utter in order to con the little people. And it's scary to see how it works. It is. It's scary to see how easy it is to con the little people. And yet there he is doing it again and apparently getting away with it. We'll see, though. I think it's starting to wear down. And over the long term, this thing isn't going to work so well. We'll see, though. 860-522-9842. Don't forget the rant line number, 751-4698. We'll take some more phone calls, talk more when we continue after news on WTIC. That's right, we can't. We cannot take it anymore. Can't allow ourselves to do that. 860-522-9842, Bonnie Simsbury. Hi.
Hi, Todd. I only have one quick thing. We're all cognizant about the mask wearing and hand washing and all that stuff. But what can we do about a governor that's trying to be kind of like a dictator? It's a little absurd and upsetting. What can we do about it? Does anybody know?
That's the idea of a democratic system, is to push back. And the only reason Ned is doing this is because his handler's perception of the political marketplace is that the people have been cowed. Therefore, here's an idea. Call Kathy Hopperstad, running for state representative in Manchester, and tell her you want to help her with her campaign any way you can. Don't have to do anything you don't want to. You don't have to do anything that makes yourself uncomfortable, makes you feel uncomfortable. But you can get active. Go to your Republican town committee page and find out what opportunities there are. Maybe you can give $5 or $10. Maybe you can give an hour one day a week or a couple of hours to make phone calls on behalf of the candidate, what have you. There is a whole political machinery. It's not a very good machinery on the Republican side in the state of Connecticut. It's been abandoned by even the Republicans. That's why I'm playing those cuts of Themis. We need to mobilize in order to prop up the Republican Party and support those representatives who want to actually represent American values. And they're afraid. They're intimidated. They feel like they need to pretend to be the resistance. The more support they get from people like you, Bonnie, call them right up. Call the Simsbury Town Committee, Republican Town Committee. Look them up online. Or the state GOP or a specific candidate, whatever. 860-522-9842. Kathy in Southington. Hi, Kathy.
Oh, hi, Pastor Will. Thank you so much for exposing the truth all the every day.
I am close to God, so that's what I can do.
I like what you said, because I've been thinking about this, and it started a long time ago, wondering how the German people could be taken in by, and Austrian people would just follow along with doctrine that was so awful. But anyway, here it is. You know, American people are good people. They'll do anything for the good of each other and for the good of the country. And this is just a way, you know, of getting people used to military law. I mean, that's what eventually, if we're not careful, that's what's going to happen. They're going to fine us for these masks, which is totally ludicrous after all this time. Give people credit where it's due, and they should, that's to make money, and then, of course, to rule us, control us. And people need to wake up and not be controlled. We have to have our own.
Well, Kathy, I think you're right about that. I think it's very perceptive. Thank you. No, that's it. You can't go along. You can't shrug your shoulders at having the American system of government thrown out for a year, which is Jolly Ned's goal. 11 months of emergency powers is what he's declared so far. If nobody ever says boo, if he faces no significant opposition, what is he to interpret except this is what the people want? What choice does he have but to conclude that? Jim and Wilkett. Hi, Jim.
Hi there. Quick question. If somebody is going to be out issuing all these fines and such for the mask issue, who's going to do that? And how do I know who they are?
Police.
And how big is
representatives from the Department of Public Health? The idea is simply for you to know they're there. Do you know how many people have gotten fined for coming into the state and not having filled out the form or whatever they're supposed to do when they come in? I think it's
probably
six people have
few.
Been. Yeah, I believe it's six people. And those six were only done to make it look, to trick the average voter into thinking, wow, look at Ned. He's really running this state. He's responsible for how well the state's going, even though the state has the fourth highest death rate in the country. They think because it's quiet now, he's wonderful, and it's because he's such a tough guy, when in fact he's doing nothing. Those things are for show only.
So that leaves us with absolutely nothing to look for.
What do you mean? You mean to watch out so you don't get busted?
Yeah, how many people are going to be out there, and how do we know who they are? How do we?
They
know
will have a PR. This is the wrong attitude, Jim. The attitude should be just what Bonnie called and said. How do we fight King Ned? Not how do we be scared of King Ned. Don't waste time trembling in the corner, worrying that the Ned mask police will be coming up in the mask mobile to give you a mask ticket. Don't worry about that. Worry about being part of the resistance. Justin in Wallingford. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Todd. You know, Ned's leadership, of course, isn't leadership any more than Themis's leadership. It's all about ducking things at the right time. Like you said, he's falling back on the markets when it's convenient, but then, you know, he is having his cake and eating it too, because while there is some pushback from some of the press, they're really not in his face about it the way they get in some other politician's face.
No question.
And also, I'd like to shame the TIC guy for having a terrible mic at the press conference yesterday. Whoever that reporter was, couldn't even tell his name. But
he's actually had that bad mic for a while. I'm hoping he straightens it out soon.
Production work, you know, someone help him, please. Help the poor guy. But the Republicans get the worst of it because they have the worst, you know, political machinery. That's simply the way of it. And
I don't accept blaming incompetent politicians for being incompetent. I believe it's our responsibility to make them competent. Themis plays this kind of game of betraying the people while posing as being the savior.
Right, but she seems to run her own life all right. I'm just saying,
But she gets away with this because we let her. And that's why I'm calling her out, and Len Fasano. It's great that the two of them are leaving. Now, there's no prospect for future leadership to be any better, because they're mostly cowards, the guys who've been around for a while. But now we can pressure them. You know, we get them fresh, and we can start pressuring them to do the right thing.
Yeah, hopefully, or, you know, run ourselves if we have the means to do so.
Or certainly call up people like Kathy Hopperstad and help her get elected in Manchester. Justin, thank you. Always good to hear from you. 860-522-WTIC. Isn't that good? To do that, regarding an occasional, there is, yes, occasionally, somebody who sort of talks tough, at least suggests talking tough. This was yesterday at the press conference.
To use a football term, there's some football supporters out there that think you're punting on this whole issue of high school football.
Well, that was good. I assume the guy brought security with him. He must have been so scared to do that. But it was fun to hear. Frank's calling from Middletown. What's up, Frank?
Hi.
You mentioned, or you just spoke about Republican town committees to somebody. I agree 100%. They are an untapped resource. Right now, Republican town committees are little fiefdoms run by their, focused on only their little local places. And we have not had a GOP leader, CT GOP leader in J.R. Romano or Sue Hatfield, that reached out to any of those people to come out with a common language, a common thought, and tie the little fiefdoms into a unified discussion. That is the problem. That's why Republicans are failing.
Well, that's, if that's true what you're saying, the question is, why is that happening? And I think to me, the way this works, it's supposed to be, these are grassroots organizations. The exactly. grassroots of the Republican Party are supposed to be guiding their Republican leaders on the local level, the Republican town committees. And then those people are supposed to extend those messages up to
and
the state
they
party.
They are doing that. They are doing that for each individual place. But we're talking about, we're also talking about U.S. Congress. We're talking about U.S. Senate.
Sure.
So there is a whole state thing that needs to be tied together. And right now, each individual Republican town committee, they don't even talk to each other. Look it up. I'm a Republican town committee member. I have not interacted with one other Republican town committee ever. Well,
and what does your town committee leadership tell you about the failure?
I don't want to even go down there, but they don't say anything. That's one of the things. That's one of the issues. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to make this statement.
Because there's no support.
Well, you've got to shout louder. You've got to organize your fellow town committee members,
you know what?
I would think.
I've already.
Okay. Well, that's certainly a problem. In general, the dynamic of representative government. Thank you, Frank, for that call. The idea of representative government is that the smaller people, that is individual members of, say, a Republican town committee, you would tell your leaders, demand of them that they do what you want. You know, you form little groups like anybody does and assert your will. And one of the things I hear about town committees, I don't know if this is true, but everyone's been there too long. And like you say, there's fiefdoms and the same leaders are there and they're tired and old. And you go to a meeting and everybody's our age, you know, instead of being a young person with new ideas and excitement and time and energy to spend. And nobody's doing the outreach to rebuild that. But this is normal when you've been losers for a while and you don't have any power and you've got a leader on the state level for the Republicans who doesn't make anything happen. He's there to collect his paycheck for as long as he can collect his paycheck. You've just got our Republican Party waiting for someone to take control of it. And it's best if that happens from the grassroots. Thank you for the call, sir. 860-522-9842. We'll take a quick break and then take more phone calls on WTIC. Yeah, I'm not going to say the name of this song. Mike just yelled to me, this song is called Kill the King, but I'm not going to say that. That's terrible. And I wouldn't want to make anyone think that we're coming from that point of view. We're coming from the point of view of letting politics work, letting the deaths be political deaths. And I want everyone to always keep that in mind. In our system, it's about promoting your ideas and making your ideas be in charge. And that's what we all need to do, because we've got the best ideas. 860-522-9842. And by the way, if you stand with the founders, you stand with brilliance, insight, and incredibly earth-shattering developments in the political movement of the world. Russ in Bristol. Hello, Russ.
Hey, first time, long time. I just got a quick question. I'm going to get your opinion on it, and I'll hang up and listen to your response.
All righty.
Where are all the biohazard bins for us to put our used face masks and gloves in if the government wants us to believe this virus is so deadly and contagious?
Well, didn't they put boxes in front of every town hall or for you to drop things in?
I'm a construction worker, and I'm working downtown in New Haven right now, and I see a bunch of cardboard boxes outside of stores, but, I mean, that's the only thing I've seen.
Yeah, no, I was just making a bad joke about those ballot boxes they put everywhere. But, you know, there is a ton of inconsistency, like what you're pointing to, where they say one thing in this direction, and the next day they say another thing in another direction. I think they do that on purpose. They don't want there to be any clarity on this at all.
No, it's a scare tactic. That's all it is.
I think that's right. It's a scare. You know, there is a disease out there. Don't you think there is a disease?
Oh, no, there's absolutely a disease. But, I mean, is it more deadly than pneumonia or the flu itself or walking across the street getting hit by a car?
Well, it's hard to say, and it has its own unique qualities. The question is it this dangerous, or have we been taken advantage of? And I think we have been taken advantage of. Russ, thank you for doing a first-time call. Great to hear from you. We'd like to hear from more construction workers, so keep calling, okay? 860-522-WTIC. Bob, Middletown. Hi.
Hello, Todd.
Hello, Bob.
I got a question. I say I can't afford masks. Jolly Ned wants us to wear masks. So just say I can't go to Walgreens and spend $40 for 20 masks, the proper mask. Will he give me masks? If he finds me, will he give me a mask? Can I go and get masks for free from the state of Connecticut, seeing that the Democrats are holding back any stimulus check? I can't afford masks.
Well, probably you can... You can get a mask BT card. It's like an EBT card. You just use it to buy masks.
I don't have an EBT card.
No, but you could apply for a mask BT card. Another joke that's not very funny. But, you know, they're not that expensive.
Serious. I can't afford masks. They're $40 for 20 masks. Why doesn't the state, if they're going to fine you for it, why can't they give you masks? Why can't they pay for the mask and give them to you?
Well, that's you might actually have some kind of constitutional argument there about them forcing you. Remember the big fight over Obamacare was about the idea of you being forced to buy a product. And you might have the roots of an argument there. Thank you, Bob. Tony in Hartford. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how's it going, man? I love your show. You guys are awesome. Keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Hey, you know, I don't know if I got short-term memory or long-term stupidity. I'm not sure. But whatever happened to the tolls? I don't hear no more tolls on the radio. Are they pulling something on the side burner?
Well, the tolls disappeared in February because Democrats continued after 13 months refused to vote for them. So Ned finally gave up and moved on to other things. And in March, magically, right after that, in came COVID.
It wasn't a good idea.
But many people, Tony, many people look at the tolls and say that's what Jolly Ned is thinking about with this 5-month extension of his kingship. He can simply institute, at least commence tolls with a signature of his own little pen on his own little piece of paper, and it becomes law until overturned by the legislature or until his emergency powers run out. Thank you. We're going to continue taking calls and talking about this after news. WTIC. It is now. And we are together on this really cool radio station where we get to hang out and tell the truth about what goes on politically. Well, we're not right about everything, but we provide an alternative perspective that I think is critical in terms of people being able to form ideas that makes some sense instead of just absorbing the pablum of everything is wonderful.
You may say, well, what's the difference? I mean, why put it off till spring? What's going to be different? I think there could be a world of difference where it's much safer.
Could be. It could be very different, the football landscape in the spring.
I think there could be a world of difference where it's much safer. Not only are we through the risk of, you know, the colleges, we're also through the bulk of the flu season. Hopefully we'll have that five-minute Abbott lab test.
Hopefully, maybe, could be, looks like, hopefully. Come on. That's not leadership. 860-522-9842. There's a little Ned theme song, huh? Even if it does force us to play Seals and Cross, which is tragic. Okay, I didn't have a chance to send you this, Mike. So I will play this little cut here, and then you play yours. Here's the last words of the cut so you can know what the cue is. Wait a sec. It's not playing. Why is it doing that? I've got to get a new computer. Everything is set correctly.
Hopefully it could be a world of difference.
Okay, right after he says a world of difference, you hit your cut, Mike. You ready? Pressure is on.
You may say, well, what's the difference? I mean, why put it off till spring? What's going to be different? I think it's reasonable to assume hopefully it could be a world of difference. Josh says make no predictions, never, when it comes to COVID.
Josh says never make a prediction.
I think it's reasonable to assume hopefully it could be a world of difference. Josh says make no predictions, never, when it comes to COVID.
All right, now let's do it a little tighter. Here I go.
I think it's reasonable to assume hopefully it could be a world of difference. Josh says make no predictions, never, when it comes to COVID.
That was worse. One more try.
I think it's reasonable to assume hopefully it could be a world of difference. Josh says make no predictions, never, when it comes to COVID.
Josh is the guy Ned hired to run the state, the chief operating officer of the state. Ned is such a tool. He really is. Oh, my, my. It's pretty funny. Okay, so the conversation is about fines. The new rules from Jolly Ned call for you to be fined. Here's the story. Governor Ned established a new series of fines Monday ranging from $1 to $500, $100 to $500, for those who refuse to wear protective masks in public or who organize or attend large private events. The new penalties, administration officials said, were requested by municipal leaders whose only other option to enforce coronavirus containment rules was to arrest violators and charge them with misdemeanors. The penalties include $100 for failing to wear a protective mask in public, $250 for attending a private gathering that exceeds state limits set early in the pandemic, and $500 for organizing such events. Your response to this crackdown?
We're doing this for one reason and one reason only, to keep you safe.
Why? To keep us what?
We're doing this
what
for one reason and one reason only, to keep you safe.
To keep us safe? How does... We've been wearing masks since April 22nd. 5 months. April 22nd. Where is the litany of stories about public officials struggling to get people to wear their masks?
Josh says make no predictions, never, when it comes to COVID.
I have not heard about there being a problem. Have you? A problem getting people to wear their masks? Have you heard about this? 860-522-9842. I don't recall this being a big deal. I really don't. Why does the gov, the jolly one, decide to get tough on masks right now, all of a sudden? For me, this seems to correlate with his failure to offer leadership where leadership is required. I'm putting required in quotes because if we are to believe Themis Claridis and others who say that we're in a dangerous moment and we need the governor to be still have emergency powers. If we're to believe that whole argument, then why is he leaving schools alone, the most dangerous thing going on right now? Kids going back to college, kids going back to public school, teachers who don't want to be back because they're vulnerable. Come on. Come on. That's not realistic. He doesn't want to lead, so he's not offering the leadership on anything important. Only on this kind of picayune stuff. We play loud rock music because that is the teen spirit we want to be communicating here. That rebellious Samuel Adams spirit. Sam Adams, I think he was one of the guys who did the Boston Tea Party. And I feel like we need a little bit of that immature spirit of rebellion that drove the founders to do their brilliance 240 years ago. Is this the same guy who was driving up Route 8 yesterday, Stephen? Hi, Stephen.
Hey there, Todd. Basically, the citizens of this country should always be in a proactive wrestling match with their government. And never.
Yes, I like that line.
Never get a hold on them that can put them in a position where they lose the match. And
well, that's exactly
day,
right.
Let me put a stranglehold on you. Let me do this. Let me do that. And we're being told that we're doing it for our safety. Come on, people. Do you really believe this stuff?
That's really a great way to frame this, Stephen. Are you a constitutional scholar or something?
I wish I knew the Constitution better, but I know just basically through natural law that we always have the right to defend ourselves and we should never be told what to think. And both of those things are being taken away from us. We're being told by the government it's all right for hoodlums to come in and burn your businesses to the ground and pound you over the head with 2x4s and not be able to defend yourself. And if you do, we're going to arrest you. That just lets me know that it's way out of whack.
I love the way you frame that. Thank you so much for the call, because to me, this is exactly what has to happen. I think Stephen's got this just right. What we need to understand is that the founders were driven through experience that we are now experiencing profound mistrust of those in power, that those in power become our enemies because they come to represent the power. They are elected to represent us, but as soon as they get there, they see their best interest in representing the power. They take control of the power. They forget about us. They think about their own careers. They see the opportunity. They hire consultants, like, say, a chief of staff like Paul Mounds, the governor's guy. And these people come in who've got experience at how to use power against the people in order to further the goals of those elected. This is how power works. It's so hard for regular folk like us to understand, who've never been inside those marble floored buildings. That marble is the enemy. It is. We buy it, the most expensive building material I assume you could ever buy. Why is that what they do with our money to house themselves? Why don't they go to a leftover World War II hangar at the airport? Why is it that they surround themselves with the most expensive building materials known to man? Explain that one to me, would you? Mike is calling from the town of Bark, Hamp, and Stead. Hello there, sir.
Hello, Todd. Two observations, if you'll permit. The second will have to do with why the governor is as upset as he is. I think I have an idea, but But the first, you know, I always wondered how the Nazis took power when Hitler was democratically elected. And even though I've researched enough, I love history, to know that he sent his thugs, which I guess you'd call Antifa now, or brown shirts, at the key districts that he needed to win. And he basically beat up anybody and threatened anybody who was going to vote against him, number one. So he got himself elected. But the second, which I'd never heard of before, was called the Reichstag fire. And it was a fire on the government, the parliamentary building, our Congress, basically, for Germany. There was a fire that was set by one man, and they found out later after the war the Nazis set it themselves and then blamed the communists. So Hitler used that to institute emergency powers, where he arrested all the Communist Party members, and he was a little bit more aggressive than our governor and our politicians right now. But it started with emergency powers that were granted to him to, guess what? Keep people safe from
yes.
the communists. But it was emergency
just
powers.
Just keeping us safe. Themselves.
Yes, sir?
No, I'm sorry. I was just adding a little chorus.
Yeah. So that's number one. A little information people can Google themselves. Very easy. Reichstag fire, 1933.
What's number two?
Four weeks after he was elected. Anyhow, the second one was we were privileged to be vendors at what's called the Dream Ride in Farmington. It's held every year. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but a fantastic event for Special Olympics, to raise money for Special Olympics. When all the other events around Durham Fair, the Big E, they're all being canceled because they have to make money, the Dream Ride has been held for 20 years, and it's fantastic success. They had 2,500 people there, and I had a question
wow.
about that, and they said it was 25%
yeah,
of their
did.
Capacity. So 95 degrees, it was about 3 weeks ago, blisteringly hot, the wind was blowing, and mandatory masks. It said mandatory masks, but about 40% of the people did not wear masks, and the wind, and we've not heard any results of a major COVID outbreak. But the governor.
Oh, I'm sure the governor was there. Is that what you said?
Yeah, the governor showed up on Sunday. But all the and we kept hearing this announcement. Please remember, thank you for wearing your mask and abiding by our abiding by the restrictions. And all these people walking around without any mask, flaunting the governor and flaunting.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Thank you for that, Mike. I'm going to hold you there so I can get Dave in before we go to news. Dave,
well,
hello there,
to
sir.
Go quick, huh? Okay. Front page.
No, you've got a whole minute.
Register today. Attorney General Tong, Connecticut's Attorney General, a major offensive against climate change. He wants to sue ExxonMobil for, God forbid, selling fossil fuel, which the people want. And he's telling you back into the 50s, they should have known it would cause climate change. Todd, you
Well,
know,
not only that, he's against all this wonderful economic activity that has lifted so many billions of people out of poverty that we've caused.
Todd, you know that the very partisan Letitia James, Attorney General from New York, tried to do this for 2 years and lost in court. So what does our Attorney General do? Well, he tries the same trick. You guys look at that picture on the front page of the New Haven Register and see if Attorney General Tong doesn't look like a chihuahua baring its teeth ready to bite you on the ankle.
Dave.
Yes, sir.
He's only doing it for the public good. He's only doing it for your health. That's how it works. Well, well, well. It is a day called Tuesday, and I thank you for sharing it with me here on this radio station called WTIC, where we get together to talk, to share ideas, to listen to people talk, and to listen to unbiased media. Like, listen to this unbiased media from CNN. I turned it on for 1 second today, and this is what blasted out of the TV.
One of the president's top health appointees is escalating outrageous conspiracy theories.
That's unbiased news. In the age of right now, whatever this age is.
Michael Caputo, who is the spokesman for the administration's coronavirus response, is now claiming without evidence.
Claiming without evidence. This is an unbiased news reporter. How does she know that he has no evidence that
CDC scientists are engaging in what he called sedition?
How does she know he doesn't have evidence of sedition or that he can't put forth a theory where one could view the evidence that is in front of all of us as sedition
in their handling of this pandemic?
certainly we've watched the handling of the pandemic. 860-522-9842. Paul is in Plymouth, as usual. Hello,
yes,
Paul.
Sir. Yes, sir. Thanks, Todd. Some information. Now, the Pennsylvania governor and attorney general tried to shut down Carlisle events earlier, late May, and I was there 2 days before the vendors were scheduled to come in. A very punitive action, and they lost. Carlisle Events and Events Management has to step up. And they did, because they had 13 shows and they had a very good legal representation. Here in this state, you want to talk events management? I got on the website on Ned Lamont's little page there. And there's no way with equal enforcement across the board that his edict can be effectively used. There have been flea markets open since middle of May here in the state, two that I've attended regularly. And believe me, in the beginning, they were compliant. But it seems to me that police and government would get more compliant by helping people out. If the cops don't want to get out of the car and do it, then there's ways that they can do it. Traffic enforcement.
Help out what? There. What should people be helping out from the government?
What should they be getting as far as coercion?
You said they should be helping out.
What should? Without.
All right, Paul. Thank you for the call. I love hearing from you, Paul. But you frequently start off with a point and then refuse to close it up and put it into a package where we say, okay, there's the end of the point. Now we understand it. 860-522-9842. Yep. Guess what? Mark Christopher does not have that problem. He's in the Brown, Payne, Darrison, Scott Traffic Center. He makes himself perfectly clear. Mark.
Paul's got to work on his zingers. A hard out.
Yeah.
Just a good hard zinger out.
Oh, yeah, okay, I can talk, sure. I was just enjoying the tunes. 860-522-9842. Yeah, so this news report, I just found this. I mean, this is, I try to have this conversation with my wife, who's an anti-Trumper. Oh, my, she is, she if the news is on, my wife has to do commentary. Oh, can you believe that? Oh. Oh, I can't believe it. And she knows. I've told her, look, let's not talk politics. I have no interest in hearing anything about Trump. Trump is not even my primary interest. My primary interest is the American system of government. My primary interest is in making sure the people are in charge and the people's business is being carried out. That's why it's been such an exciting thing now, having 3.5 years of monitoring Connecticut politics every day, because Connecticut politics is a major scam. It reminds me of those old movies where everybody was always robbing trains. The train was coming by with a lot of money in it. And these looters were just forming these little packs on their horses and attacking the train. They'd ride up next to it, jump on in the middle of the night, force the train to stop at gunpoint and take all the loot. And this is what the political class in the state of Connecticut has pulled off over the last 40 years. They don't do it with guns and horses and in the middle of the night. They just do it all the time in the middle of broad daylight, and they use words instead of weapons, these sweet, soothing words of compassion and embedded anti-Americanism. When I say anti-Americanism, a lot of people freak out like I'm being bombastic. I'm not being bombastic. I'm stating an obvious fact. Americanism, that is our constitutional form of government, is based in the idea of humans being free, of us having the right to our spoils, of us having small government as the backbone of being a free society. There is no freedom if government is allowed to grow. The argument today is, oh, you can't be free if you don't have money. Well, that's up to you. But if you turn our system into the government's job is to take money away to give it to the people who haven't earned it, then you no longer have freedom. You no longer have liberty. You no longer have capitalism. You no longer have markets. You've given that all up in order to perpetrate a ruse on the people so all the power migrates into the hands of those in government and is taken away from the people. Liberty is axed. That, I think, is their goal. 860-522-9842. Jason Simsbury. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Todd. I know a lot of people are calling about the fines for not wearing a mask, but I was a little bit more concerned about the fines for attending an event or organizing an event, and I feel like Jolly Ned is getting ready for some protests or something when he puts even more stupidity forward from his executive orders.
Very interesting. He wants to make sure there can't be any protests without the police showing up and giving everybody a ticket and making them suffer for their exercising their free speech rights.
Yeah, so earlier in the year, I know there was some protests where people were driving their cars around the Capitol in a safe way so that they weren't within 6 feet of each other. So if that event has, you know, more than 100 people, we're all outside, we're all driving our cars, he's setting things up to so that we can't protest, and it's an unconstitutional infringement upon our right to assemble. So it's just egregious, and it's really upsetting.
Well, you're right in this point, I think. It's a really insightful point. I do believe that what you're saying makes sense and goes right in line with the insidious kind of government is now the enemy approach that Jolly Ned practices. Really,
yeah,
well
so
done,
Jason. For example,
Jason.
If our safety is what he's concerned about, he wants us to keep us safe. What's next then? He's going to mandate the flu shot like Massachusetts did. Well, you're going to have 3,000 people wanting to show up at the Capitol saying, you know, no thanks, Ned. And
right.
Now you can't.
He'll
do
say
that
that's unsafe.
You're going to get fined.
Yes. All right. Well done, Jason. That's great. And of course, this is why we don't want government. If we are smart, if we are savvy citizens, you say to your government, thank you very much. Don't keep us safe. I'll take care of my safety. You take care of protecting me from thieving politicians who want all the power and money in their hands. What in the heck is going on? We'll check with Bill in Southington and find out. Hi, Bill. Yes, Bill. Well, I guess Bill is not the guy who knows what in the heck is going on. But Jolly Ned is. Where is that?
You may say, well, what's the difference? I mean, why put it off till spring? What's going to be different? I think it's reasonable to assume hopefully it could be a world of difference.
That's a little mashup of the jolly one. All right. I have some other. This is the time to do it because we've got coming up in about 20 minutes, the rant line. So this is a good time to, I want to share this little GMA thing because the government is the enemy. The media is the enemy. Both those things work against us, punish us with leftism and anti-Americanism and big governmentism right now. Listen to this intro. This is the intro from Good Morning America today. And notice the word choice, the stories that they choose to cover, the over-dramatization, the attempt to create a sense of frenzy in the atmosphere. And you could say this sense of frenzy, you could say it's driven by a desire to get ratings, because if people have elevated percolation going on in their sense of fear, that glues them to the TV. And you could say it's an anti-Trump conspiracy to create the sense, to add fuel to the sense that things are just unbearably crazy during the age of Trump. You decide.
Good morning, America. Race to escape. Hurricane Sally takes aim. Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana all under states of emergency.
Did you listen to that? That verbiage.
Hurricane Sally takes aim. Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana all under states of emergency.
It's an emergency. Something is aiming at us.
Bracing for extreme storm surge, flash flooding.
Extreme surge flooding.
The powerful hurricane lashing the region with winds at 85 miles an hour.
Lashing 85 miles an hour. Powerful.
We're live in the storm zone with the latest on the mandatory evacuations.
In the storm zone, mandatory.
Wildfire apocalypse.
Wildfire, it's an apocalypse. That one deserves a second play.
Wildfire apocalypse. As those deadly blazes rage, toxic smoke rage smothers the West, Portland, and Seattle.
Listen to the collection of words. Let's give it another try.
Wildfire apocalypse. As those deadly blazes rage, toxic smoke smothers the West.
The West is smothered by toxicity. Is that an attack on Donald Trump?
Portland and Seattle, two of the top cities in the world with the worst air quality.
Wow, the two top cities in the world with the worst air quality. Well, one might expect that when the forests are burning.
President Trump visits hard-hit California.
Hard hit that California and Trump visits. That's a horror unto itself.
And dismisses climate change as a problem.
Oh, no. A politician dismisses an unproven idea. This is breaking news. How come it's never been breaking news that a politician accepts an unproven idea and pushes it onto the people? And before it is proven, starts to move policy in the direction of that unproven idea. How come that is never news? Explain that one to me, please. 860-522-9842. Let's go to Bristol next. Glenn, hello there.
Hi, how are you? I want to tell you a story.
Excuse?
About our beloved governor, Ned Malloy. I was at the Elephant's Flea Market in New Milford about 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and it's quite a large thing. And it was the first time that they let them open. So, how do you know how many people are at a flea market? And about 12 o'clock, state police helicopter flies over, makes two passes over the flea market. At 12:30, they shut them down.
Because it was too busy?
No, because they was too busy. They didn't like it. They just didn't like people having fun. And, twice they came over, then they flew over, and then they... At 12:30, they had an announcement on the internet and stuff saying that if you plan on coming to the Elephant's Trunk Flea Market, don't waste your time because the state shut it down. But they notified the town of New Milford, and they closed it. I mean, those poor people, they've been starving since May when it opens up, and they got to pay taxes and everything else. And the state police helicopter flew over and shut them down, and their people were... The New Milford State Police were there monitoring the people in the field. Fire department was there. They had no problem until the state police showed up with their helicopter. And I'm sure they got a quick line to our buddy Ned Malloy. And I'm sure he put the kibosh to it.
All right, Len, since you mentioned the former governor and the present governor as a single person, I just wanted to play our favorite Dan Malloy cut when he told the truth about how no money taxed by the state ever produces anything for the people unless they are the people who get the benefits, the unaffordable benefits guaranteed to voters of the Democratic Party. You remember this?
If you look at what we are spending, every cent of additional revenue that has come in since 2011 goes to pay pensions, teachers, state workers, and other post-employment benefits. Every single cent and more.
Let them promise you better schools, better roads, better services, faster service at the motor vehicle department. Let them even promise that they've discovered the internet and they're going to start doing things on the internet, like registering cars. And what Malloy says is none of it's going to happen. The money all goes to those pensions that can't be paid, the unaffordable pensions. This is a pretty stunning thing. 860-522-9842. Let's see. We've got a minute. Let's put in, I've got another Good Morning America frenzy thing here. Wait, do I? Where am I? Okay. This is when they get into the actual story.
More than 16,500 already deployed.
Fires. The president firefighters deployed.
More than 16,500 already deployed. The president visiting California between campaign stops, dismissing climate change.
He dismissed climate change. How can this be that a Republican would dismiss the gospel of the evangelical anti-climate left?
Floor.
This is one of the biggest burns we've ever seen, and we have to do a lot about forest management.
California's governor and local officials pushing back.
We come from a perspective, humbly, where
this is the governor of California sitting down, meeting, and trying to be nice with Donald Trump. And listen how. Oh, we can't do it right now. Coming up, we've got. Yeah, we'll play that cut for you. So the president, I think he got the best of this. Now, these leftist phonies, this is a great chance to see the con game that politicians play. They divert because they're the center of attention. They get to control what the media focuses on. When your state is burning, or let's say, for the sake of argument, let's say, and for the sake of the leftists, the anti-American crowd, who hate capitalism and hate how successful we are as a country. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that climate change is responsible for 50% of the dynamic going on in the world today, and that humans are responsible for 50% of climate change. And California is hot right now and burning right now. And they say that some small percentage of it, based on our stipulations to agree, might be controllable if you could do things that over the next 50 years might cool the planet. What is the point of talking about something that would take decades to change today's realities if today's realities are changeable? Listen to this exchange between the left-wing leftist governor of California and the president and some other people on a panel there, other California officials giving him a hard time. Listen to how he gets the best of it.
We come from a perspective, humbly, where we submit the science is in and observed evidence is self-evident that climate change is real.
If we ignore that science and sort of put our head in the sand and think it's all about vegetation management, we're not going to succeed together protecting Californians.
It'll start getting cooler.
You just
watch.
I wish science agreed with you.
Hey, well, I don't think science knows, actually.
I don't think science knows. Well, that's the truth. Science is not in the knowing business. Science is in the speculation business, the theory business, the testing those theories over time and seeing what works out and learning how stupid they were for having had the theories that they had. That's what science is in, a perpetual striving and search for truth. And I think the president kicked their butts on that little interaction. But he didn't say the most important thing, but his implication was what I'm saying to you now. I think this is the most important thing. Climate change is of no relevance to the damage being done to California right now and the response that might help. The president is talking about real things that could be done to help over the short term. And they're talking about pie in the sky fantasy speculation about what a cause is that you might be able to fix over the next 50 or 100 years.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.